How many of you youngins have a verse tonight? Y'all got a verse tonight? Has anybody got a verse? Would you raise your hand? Anybody got a verse? A child that's got a verse? All right. A child that has a verse. No? All right. We had a few. Put them up. Brother Robert, stand up and give us your verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, a scripture memorized by anybody is a blessing, ain't it? And so praise the Lord. Did I turn this microphone on? Did I do that? I think. And we're trying to get adjusted to all this. Brother Ray's been working hard on them. We had to get new mics, church, because the FCC has cranked down on some more waves there that is illegal to use, and so we've had to stay current with all of that. So we had to get some new microphones, and I appreciate Ray working hard at getting them all. I appreciate all of our men working in our sound, and they're kind of like the unsung heroes around here. Now I try to do better around that. I don't ever try to make any type of a public announcement to them back there, but you know, I've been in some churches where the only time the sound person gets recognized is to mess something up, and that's always bothered me. Has that bothered y'all? A lot of times they're not mentioned. I don't have it on, do I? Okay. It's going in and out. All right. Well, maybe I just need to stick it a little closer. We'll see. We'll get them all worked out. I think I have a big enough mouth where y'all can hear it. And that one, two, three, four, fifth row right there says what? Amen. That fifth row is awful quiet. Let's try it again. I tell you what, let's try that second row from the back. Second row from the back, can I get an amen? My mouth's big enough, I don't need a... You know what, we got smart alecks in every crowd. I tell you what, you got to love your family, and I do love my family. I appreciate them. And Revelation chapter 6, would you open there tonight? Revelation chapter 6. As we continue our journey through the future, and this is the future. We're dealing with the future. We're leaving our scene of worship and praise that we entered into this morning, and we're entering a scene of wrath and punishment. These verses do not reveal any rejoicing, doesn't reveal any joy. It only reveals rebellion and judgment. There's great splendor for the redeemed, but there's only great suffering for those who are left behind. And so let's look in Revelation chapter 6. We're going to be introduced to the four horsemen. Now, I'm not making light of anything, but growing up in the 80s, if you were a wrestling fan, you couldn't help but knowing who the four horsemen were in the wrestling world. And I asked Brother Scotty there earlier, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember the four horsemen in the wrestling league? It was Ole and Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and Tully Blanchard. But that's not the four horsemen that we're talking about tonight. These are the seal judgments. And we're going to look at these in chapter 6. So let's begin reading with verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb, he's the only one worthy, opened the one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. Now we've heard that before. Over there in chapter 4, we were told that he's seen out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings. And we told you that that was a sign of judgment to come. So we see that John now is seeing, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Now that's interesting, but it's very important that you mark that, to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, now think of this, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And by the way, this is the only horseman that has a name. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll do only what you can do. Speak to our hearts, teach us, and help us tonight. Motivate us, Lord. Help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to study and begin our study of the Great Tribulation period. This period is a 7 years that is divided into 3.5 segments. So 2 3.5 segments adds up to 7 years of what we know to be the tribulation. In the coming weeks, that we're going to be studying this and going through these seals. These things are very real. They just haven't happened yet, but you look at me, they are. They're going to happen exactly the way God describes them here in the Word of God. And so we understand that the things that are coming up on this earth and the ones that are left behind, that's not rapture, that does not know Jesus Christ, they're not in heaven enjoying the worship scene, they're going to be on earth enduring these judgments of God. And it's here that God's judgment begins with these four horsemen. So let's consider these four horsemen. They're right here. Number one, the first white is a white horse, and I would think that it would describe the word deception. Now, I want you to understand something. In verse 2 of chapter 6, the Bible's very clear. He says, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow." Now, I want to make some mention here, and we understand that this first rider is seen riding on a white horse. He is a man that is a man of authority. He's carrying a bow. He's on a white horse. We would picture something that would be peaceful, but the Bible says that this horseman is on a white horse and he's a man of authority. Who is this man? Who is this man? Well, we know this man. He's not come to a place yet where we know who he is, but we know that this man is the Antichrist. And we know that this man, what can we discover about this man by these few words in this verse? Number one, I want you to notice his plan. Now, the text reveals something to me that's very revealing as I was studying this. The Bible says he was on a white horse, which represents peace. But number two, the man that's riding this horse, the Antichrist, had a bow. But I want you to notice what is not mentioned with that bow. Arrows. Now that's interesting, because for a bow to do any damage, to cause violence, that bow has to have arrows. I have a bow, and I've never killed a deer with just the bow. I've never caused any death by just the bow. It's had to be knocked by with an arrow, and the arrow has to be let loose, and it has to actually hit the target. But I want to say there's something significant here, because why is this so interesting? Because there's no mention of arrows, but I believe the Antichrist will conquer the world without firing a shot. He will deceive the world. He intends to conquer the world, and he will do so without firing a shot. He will come as an imposter. He will come as an imitator of Christ. He will have the answer for the world's problems, and by that time, there will be many. He comes on a white horse for a plan of peace. He will have the solutions to the great social and economic problems of the world. He will be regarded as the greatest leader the world has ever known. The world will love and even worship this child of Satan. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know his plan is with peace?" Because you have to see the second seal also to understand this interesting thought that he's going to conquer the world without a shot, because I want you to notice he does it in peace. That's his plan. Because if you look at the second seal that was opened, the Bible says in verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." So there was peace there. There was no war. The second seal opens up that, hey, we've got to take the peace away. So there was peace. So he has come to on the scene. He's in power, and his plan is by doing it peacefully. We're going to talk more about that later. But I want you to notice his power. The Bible says in verse 2 that he went forth conquering and to conquer. He will, without massive military buildup or conflict, conquer the world. He will become the ruler of the world. All the kings, the prime ministers, the presidents of the world will submit to his authority. Now, I'm not being ugly, and I don't know for sure, but there's already things in place in the world government, like the UN and other things, that could actually be something that usher something like this in. This man of sin will deceive the whole world. Every nation will submit to his authority. Every nation. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at his performance, and this is extremely important to me. If you'll look, the Bible says in verse 2, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." In other words, he's come in the performance of peace. Now, here's what's interesting about this. He's a master of performances. He will display what the world desires to see. They will be deceived by his lies of peace and tranquility. All of his work at first will just be for show, merely a careful, orchestrated performance, but he will be ushered in without resistance. Now, underneath all of this appearance, though, he's going to show his true colors. Now, you say, "Pastor, this idea is really beyond reason. Let's go back through history." Will you come with me? Late 1920s, early 1930s, there was a man that rose to power in Europe. His name was Adolf Hitler. Now you do the study on him. You read the history of Adolf Hitler. He did not conquer the whole nation or the whole country of Germany by telling them he was going to lead them to war. They had just got out of World War I. They were war ravaged. They were poor. They had been absolutely mistreated in the Treaty of Versailles. There was no doubt about it. Germany, the way that it was treated in that treaty, there was no way they could have become an economic powerhouse. So what did Hitler do? Hitler came in. He told him he was going to make them wealthy again. He was going to make them prosperous again. And he promised them peace. You read the history. He promised them everything that no child in this country wouldn't want. He came, but you know what? Then he was praising the churches. Early on, he was praising the churches. He knew that he had to have the power of the churches. But you know what he was telling his inner circle? Y'all know what he was planning? To murder 6 million Jews. See, he was telling the people in the country all of this, but in his inner circle of evil, he was telling them his plan. And you know what? His plan came to fruition. The only problem with it, his plan failed. But listen to me. The Antichrist won't. It will deceive the world. He will deceive the world. You say, how? He's going to be a good performer. Can I make application here? Quit. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people performing. Can we just be real? Somebody say amen. If you failed, own it. If you messed up, say you're sorry. Don't perform. Be real. A Christian should be real. If you've hurt somebody, go to them and say, "I'm sorry." Be real. Performer. He's a performer. He tell them that he's going to bring peace. He's going to answer all the problems, but in the back and in all of his inner circle and in his mind, he knows what he's going to do. He deceived the whole world. And by the way, this idea is not beyond reason. And I just said this a moment ago. Hitler came as an evil dictator, but he disguised himself as a man full of peace, prosperity, wealth, all of it. But we know after the destruction of Germany what his real plan was. After 6 million Jews and many more millions of people killed because of the conflict of World War II, our country changed because of one man's performance. So that idea that we read here in the Bible is not too far from being attainable. So the white horse of deception. Notice verse 3, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." So to take peace, you had to have peace. So everything was peaceful. So the red horse is, if you keep reading there, the Bible says, he took peace on the earth and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now that tells us a lot because this red horse signifies destruction. The white horse signifies deception. The red horse signifies destruction. The second rider appears on a red horse. He will bring about great destruction and bloodshed. As Jesus loose this second seal, we understand a time of war began on this earth or begins on this earth. Again, Christians are in heaven, but this war takes place, this violence takes place on this earth like no, this world has never seen. So the first thing we see about this is the peace will vanish. The Bible says he's going to take peace from the earth. The rider received power to remove peace from the world. The Antichrist came with a promise of peace, but now peace will not exist. The entire world will erupt in turmoil and global war. Jesus predicted wars as nations and kingdoms rise against each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says this, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Those taken in by this deception of the Antichrist will soon face the harsh reality of war on every hand. There will be fighting and bloodshed on every corner, every area of this world. From the largest towns to the smallest of villages, there will be terror and carnage on this earth. War like this world has never seen. Then we want you to notice in verse 4, the Bible says, now again, remember this, church, it's very important. This is going on while we're worshiping the Lamb. These are the people that have been left behind. They've rejected Christ. Notice we're going to find in verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take the peace from the earth and that they should kill one another." The people became violent. Now think of this. This power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. The men of the world will begin a campaign of murder and bloodshed unleashed on each other. Now listen, we live in a violent world today. Look, there was murders today. You understand that? There were murders today. But this will be a time of absolutely killing as has never been seen before. The second seal. The white horse is deception. The red horse signifies destruction. But let's look at this third horse, the black horse. What does it represent? Well, look at the verses, verse 5. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see,' and beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balance in his hand." Now, that's interesting. And then you're going to understand why he had the balance in his hand, because verse 6 explains to us what those balances are weighing. What's in balance here? What is in need? Well, this horse, this rider represents despair. This is going to be a time of famine like the world has never known. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Now this is interesting because this is a time of devastation and despair. But this devastation, listen to me, this is going to be a time of devastation because the very basic needs of man are going to run very low. You tell me what a mama's going to do to try to feed her babies. You tell me that this world, when there's such great famine, when you want to go to the store and get some milk and there's no milk to get, when there are people that are sick with the common bacteria infection that amoxicillin could clear it up in a few days, it's nowhere to be found. Don't tell me there won't be devastation and absolute chaos and hurt and worry because of families trying to just take care of the basic needs of their family. The entire world will suffer because of famine and need. Life will be weighed in the balances because basic needs will be low. Now listen, if you were alive, and I don't know if we have any, I'm sure some of you were very small if you were, but during the Great Depression, I've heard horror stories about that. I know during World War II there were rationing and things, but I'm telling you right now, this is a need and a famine, and things that are going to be absolutely the basic necessities of man will make the Great Depression seem insignificant. It's going to be a time of devastation. During this tribulation period, the entire world will suffer because of famine and need. A time of devastation. Let me just say this, it's going to be a time of starvation. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if anybody in America understands what starvation is. I don't think there's anybody sitting in this room tonight that knows what starvation is. And obviously you can look at me and tell me I don't even know how to spell it. We've been so blessed here. Brother Cobb and I were just talking about foreign countries, and I've been in Africa, and that's, to me, been in several countries, but to me, the poorest country I've been in was Africa. They have one meal a day. They usually eat it around lunchtime. The food has no flavor to it. It's called ugali. It's a kind of bread that they make. It has no flavor. But they'll dip that bread in sauce. And I mean, they're fine. They you know, and then a lot of times you'll see them selling those corn out on the street. But, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of folks that go to bed at night in other countries, and maybe they know what starvation is. But I'm talking worldwide. You say, Pastor, how do you know there's going to be a starvation? Because I want you to notice this. Look at the wording. A measure of wheat for a penny. Now, don't get confused. We understand what a penny is. And three measures of barley for a penny. But the measure here is equivalent to one quart. So one quart of wheat, three quarts of barley, costs them a penny. Well, how much do you think that penny is? Brother Larry said it yesterday as we were talking at the prayer breakfast. You might just say, oh, man, a penny? You don't understand. Don't be confused by this penny. That was a day's wage. That's a day's wage. Because they're speaking of Roman denarius, their coin, and that was a day's wage. Oh, that ain't bad. Three quarts of barley, a quart of wheat. Oh, that ain't bad for a penny. No, no, no. Well, what if you worked all day for it just to survive for the day, almost to have enough to eat for a couple of people to make some bread? Famine. Starvation. So I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be some really hard decisions that are going to be made. Some are going to eat and some aren't. There'll be some difficult choices. Who eats and who doesn't? Who's going to eat and who doesn't? Is the mama going to eat or is she going to let her children eat? Well, you know that answer. Someone you love, someone that's loved, what are they going to do? They're going to feed someone instead of, and they're going to go without. There's going to be great starvation when this seal is opened. Then I want you to notice this. Look at verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. Now, don't forget this. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, what's that mean? I did a lot of study on that, and here's what I come up with. It's going to be a time of division. So I'm going to tell you this. There's still going to be people that's rich. There's still going to have people that's going to have plenty. There's still going to be people that's going to have oil and wine. There's going to be luxuries during the tribulation period. There's some that's going to have it, the most won't. The wealthy are going to get, and the poor are going to get poor. Can I say it's a time of division? I think that, remember, and this is why this is important, there's going to be a great division, because you have to understand this. During this time, there's no Christians. The salt's gone. The light's gone. Look at me. Compassion's gone. Who do you think the greatest givers in the world is? Who do you think the people that have compassion on somebody else? Listen to me. Churches are not just soul-saving stations. Listen to me. Churches fund the needs of the community. You say, Pastor, do you know that's true? Look at me. You come here and stay with me and Miss Kyla for about a week, and you're going to find out most people think the church is like the government. Somebody say amen. If we get a call on that church telephone, I guarantee you 7 out of 10 is somebody asking us for money. But I'm telling you, the church is gone. All the saints who are filled with compassion through the Spirit have left. And so the world is going to be at the mercy of lost men's conscience. You think a wealthy man that's lost and don't know God is going to share his wealth? It's going to be a great time of division. So we see the white horse of deception, the red horse of destruction, then the black horse of despair. And I want you to notice the last one as we close tonight, the pale horse of death. a pale horse. Look at verse 7. The Bible says this. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And I want you to notice, this rider is the only one that has a name. Name was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Said on him was death. Hell followed with him. The appearance of this rider was death. And he's the only one specifically named. And this is a vivid reminder of all who die without Christ. Let me give you a few things. The scope of death. No. Brother Larry talked about this yesterday. I said, he's getting on my sermon today. Amen. But the scope of death. Power is given to him, notice this now, over the fourth of the earth. You know what that means? That means that death will claim a quarter of the population of the world. Now let me give you a little bit of numbers. And you know me with numbers. I'm not very good at them. But I do know this. I have a Google. I've got a Google. You ever Google? And I just said, as of September, what is the population of this earth? Y'all know what it is? 7.8 billion people. That's on the world, 7.8 billion. That's of September the 2nd. Estimated 7.8 billion people on earth. So let's just say that there's 7.8 billion people on the earth during this time that is in the future that will take place. You know how many people is going to die? Right at 2 billion. Now look, I'm not minimizing or belittling anything, but you look at the death toll that's taken in this country with viruses, won't touch this. This is around the world. 2 billion of the world's population. I can't imagine the scene surrounding that kind of death. I'll tell you right now, though, church, I'm glad I ain't going to be part of it. Then I want you to notice the severity of death. Look at verse 8. And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth. Now notice this, to kill with sword. So there's one way, violence, murder, war, with hunger, and with death. Could be virus, could be sickness, and with the beasts of the earth. Beasts of the earth. So now we see the severity of death will be coming by way of warfare, hunger. Death literally means plagues or pestilences. Think about AIDS, smallpox, anthrax, swine flu, now corona, and who knows what else in the years to come. I want you to know, this text has brought a range of emotion for me. The first emotion is this: thank God I'm going to miss it. And I rejoice in that. God help us. We have, I think it's the radio station or it's the devil. I'm not saying the radio station's the devil, but I'm saying the devil could do that. Amen. Weird noises. Y'all hear it? But range of emotion. I'm thankful. How many of y'all glad y'all gonna miss it? Because you do know you're gonna miss it, right? Do you know Jesus? Have you got in the way, the old time way, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if you've gotten in Jesus, look at me, you're going to miss this. So we ought to rejoice in that fact, but also at the same time, we ought to be very, 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 very motivated. One thing that's concerned me about these 5 months is, I'm going to be honest with you, I wonder how well the gospel has been getting out. I wonder if we've been talking more about sickness or we've been talking more about salvation. Ooh. I wonder if we've been talking more about man's problem than God's solution. Because we know God's solution. And the only hope we have in this world is Jesus Christ. So yes, reigns of emotion. I rejoice. I'm going to miss the horrors of all this. I know the church is going to be gone. But however, I am saddened by those who will be left behind. Are you? Can I ask, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. Should that not motivate us, reemphasize, rejuvenate us, refresh us to talk to our family members more? I know sometimes talking to family and friends and coworkers are hard, but do you love them? Truth is what they need to hear. Because this is real. People living today could very well be taken. We're going to be taken up or they're going to be left behind. And they're going to have to go through this horror. You say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to scare people. No, I'm just telling you the truth. This is what the Bible teaches. So as a Christian, what do we do with this? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. It ought to put a song in our heart. But I'll tell you what else it ought to do. It ought to put a track in our hand. It ought to put a message in our mouth. It ought to put a burden in our heart to continue to pray for the ones that we should be praying for. We ought to be reaching out to the ones that we're not sure if they're saved. By the way, we don't know whether they're saved or not, so you just go fishing and just try to catch everybody you can because you don't know who's saved and who isn't. I don't think you can tell the wrong person the right message. Just keep giving them the message of Jesus. Because one day here after a while, the Lord's going to rapture the saved and these folks are going to be left behind. Now we know there's going to be people that's going to be saved during the tribulation. We know that. We'll look at that later. But why chance it? Today is the day of salvation. Every one of you children need to make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. Every adult here needs to know, if there's anything you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Everyone out there listening today online, the one thing that you ought to make sure is you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That ought to motivate us to know the Lord Jesus and to tell everybody that we possibly can about the Lord Jesus. How many of you are with me? Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm thankful that we're going to miss these horrors. But I'm saddened to know that there are people that won't. Let's get busy. I'm going to ask again tonight. Could I ask how many of you know a friend, a coworker, a family member, and you're concerned about them? Would you raise your hand? You're concerned about them? Well, in light of this message, could you imagine if they were left behind? Pastor, I'll tell you what, I just can't say anything to them. I'm afraid of hurting their feelings. Well, why don't you invite them over for a good meal? Spend some time with them and talk to them with tears. Don't preach to them. Let this grip your heart and speak to them with a broken heart. Say, I love you. I'm concerned about you. Would you give ear? Let me talk to you about the Lord Jesus and how he can change your life and give you a home in heaven. That people will listen. And who knows, God could very well use it, speak to their heart. and they'll trust Jesus. You raise your hand. Miss Dawn's going to play something softly. Maybe you'd come tonight. Just find a place. You know the name. You don't have to say it out loud, but maybe you want to come. If you can't come to the altar, find a place. Make your seat an altar. Call that person's name out to the Lord. Who are they? The Lord loves them. Ask God to give us wisdom, how to speak to somebody, how to talk to somebody. Maybe you're out there online tonight. You're in your living room. Maybe you're somewhere there. Why don't you band together as a family and pray? We wouldn't want to see anybody left behind. Give them the good news. I've never heard better news that Jesus died for me. I've never heard better news that I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but Jesus loved me and paid for it. I've just never heard better news than that. Just never. Give me eternal life. I've never heard better news than that. I remember as a kid sitting in church, and a preacher would come in and preach on prophecy. He'd preach on the tribulation. I'd sit back there as a child, scared to death. Man, I'd get motivated. I really would. I'd get. And then they had them old, you know, I don't guess we could show them today, but I remember, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe some of you can correct me, but I felt like, Kim, didn't we sit at home and they used to have them old movies come on television where people had been left behind? The war. Nuclear war, all kinds of things. As a kid, that scared me to death. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I'm glad the children of God are not going to be left behind. They're going to be in heaven, but we've got work to do, church. Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your grace. Help us to be motivated. We've got the good news. We know you as our personal Savior. You'll empower us. You will encourage us. You will embolden us to go into this lost world. Share your good news, Lord. We all have a personal testimony. Help us to share it. Help us not to be ashamed. I've heard so much about sickness. I want to hear about salvation. Lord, I've heard about so many of man's problems, but Lord, I'm not hearing about God's answers, your solutions to them. I pray you'll help us to focus on the things that we need to focus on. Help us burn a fire in our hearts tonight. We'll be motivated to share your word, your truth with this world. We'll thank you for what you do, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.